This is the unregularly scheduled third meeting in the month of July of the National Finance Committee of the Pacifica National Board. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA and the chair of this committee. It is 5:34 p.m. Pacific time, 8:34 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm going to ask our secretary, R. Paul Martin from WBAI, to go ahead and call the roll.
Okay, actually we're on Eastern Daylight Time. Anyway, Kenner.
Here.
Jim Boyd.
Here. We're getting double on you.
Got an echo.
Yeah, you're echoing, R. Paul.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Marcus Jeter.
Here.
Campbell Johnson.
Present.
Kim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg. Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
Lavard Williams. We have, what is that, 9, I think it is, and we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you so much, R. Paul. Let me make a note that Arlene Engelhardt notified me that she did have a competing conference call this evening and that she would attempt to join us at some point during the call, but might have to be a bit in and out, and send her apologies. Okay, so we do have a draft agenda that was sent out at 3:38 p.m. I think I will go ahead and read it on the stream, and then we can either modifications. Hi, LaVarne. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much.
The agenda goes, roll call. Number 1, approve agenda. Number 2, approve pending minutes. Number 3, with a typo, which R. Paul will fix for me. Number 4 is review the KPFT budget, which is attached, and which was approved by the KPFT LSB towards the end of July. Number 5 is to review what I'm guessing are extension requests from the treasurers at WPFW, WBAI, KPFA, and KPFK. Number 6 is to look at the fourth quarter forecasts, and there is a motion submitted on that by myself that we can review. Item 7 is the event planning motion that was postponed from the last meeting, and item 8 was interstation transfers reporting, which is an item that we've moved through several agendas. So, would someone like to move to approve that, or are there changes or modifications?
I move to approve the agenda.
Okay, are there any objections? Okay, it's approved. So we'll move on to item 3, which is to approve the minutes that are pending, which I believe are the minutes of the previous meeting. As usual, I kind of let R. Paul facilitate the minutes process. So R. Paul, if you want to take us through the one set of minutes that we have to approve, that would be great.
Okay, let me grab all of that. Basically,
I believe they were
it's the minutes of the July 10th meeting. What are we? Do you want me to read the whole thing?
God, no.
Okay. Yes, okay, so it's July 10th, and they've been up there since early this morning, and any questions or corrections or any of that stuff?
Okay. Is there anyone who would like to make a motion to approve them or to modify them?
Bill, I move approval.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay. The minutes are therefore approved. I'm sorry. Something about motions and minutes and moving is all running together in my head this week. Too many meetings. All right. So that brings us to our first order of business, which is the KPFT budget. This budget was approved by the KPFT LSB. I believe it was done on the Wednesday after our July 10th meeting. Unfortunately, the LSB approval happened literally within a day or so of when we met. I believe they approved it on the evening of July 11th. We do have a full Excel printout for review. We do also have a, I don't want to say complaint, but we certainly have some feedback from some members of the KPFT LSB, which I did promise I would read for the record on the call and notify the rest of the NFC that this feedback had come in. So I am going to do that at some point during our review. In terms of what we can do here, basically we can approve the budget as it came in from the LSB. We can suggest modifications and make them, or we can postpone the item until our next meeting in mid-August. Those are the three options. What I'm going to ask, I guess, in terms of order is I think we'll have a presentation from the treasurer, maybe talking us a bit through the budget. Then we'll hear from Bill Crozier, who's the other PNB member from KPFT. Then, if it's okay, I will go ahead and just, you know, put in the feedback that the NFC had received to make sure that everyone has heard it. And then we'll go to discussion, and I'm hoping that we can get through all of that in about 20 minutes. We'll see.
So, Kim?
Yes, Kim?
Tim, I looked at the budget, and it's a little hard to assess because there aren't, like, the previous years, like,
Kim,
audited stuff there.
Kim,
go through the budget and relate it to that, that would be helpful.
Okay. I mean, we're trying to get to questions and comments after we hear the presentations.
No, this was before, so that's what I'm looking for. I need some context for these numbers because they don't relate to anything. They don't even look like real numbers. Like,
this year's FY12 is on that last cell, the last column.
Well, that doesn't look
I don't want to have this back and forth. Let Jim give his presentation, and then you will have an opportunity to weigh in. If you feel that you need additional materials before you can vote on it, you can request that as a member of the committee. But I don't want to short-circuit their presentation. It's not fair. Jim, go ahead and present your budget.
Okay, there's three principal areas in here where there's large changes. One's in personnel. Another relates to capital campaign for the new antenna and cable that we need, and that's included both revenue and expenses. And then we have a utility charge that I'll go into as we get down there. Those are the three major changes that we do have. The revenue, as set out, is pretty close to what we had last year. We kept that same the same levels because we feel that that those are obtainable. The one difference is on, and I'm going down from the template that was attached to Tracy's
mm-hmm.
email. Go down to community events, line 12. We had a cook-off that we aren't having in 2013, and so that revenue that's the reduction in the revenue from that standpoint. It was just the potential loss based on the revenue we were getting. It just wasn't worth the risk, so we decided mm-hmm. not to have that anymore. Down on line 19. That is what we are setting aside for a special a capital campaign for the antenna and for the cable.
May I ask if you could also read the account numbers? The version I could print out of your budget doesn't have the lines, but I do have your...
The four-digit?
Yeah.
Sure, okay. Okay, I'm down to 50-40. $200,000 for the capital mm-hmm. campaign. That is restricted funds for the new antenna and the cable. That will, there's a $200,000 in and $200,000 out, basically. The money will not be spent unless it's raised. So it's, I'm looking here down on the out, the antenna portion is line 45, four-digit 1450.
Thank you.
Which is the out for the
$200,000.
Mm-hmm. So, in effect, we have $200,000 in, $200,000 out. If we don't get it, it doesn't go out. We have about $45,000 already in the account for that.
Right.
As far as expenses, the there's minor I'm going to skip over to the detail on salaries, $55,000, $6,000. We've eliminated a little over one position, volunteer coordinator, got a new job, and so we have not refilled that and don't expect to refill that in the coming year. There was also a part-time news reporter, and that position has also been eliminated. This is the principal reason that we were able to come up with the cuts that were requested by the national office. So we reduced salaries by about $62,000.
Wow.
Now that comes down, and so that makes the differences in the taxes. It also makes some differences in the in the benefits as
mm-hmm.
it goes down the line. Unfortunately, if we get down to 7,500 telephone expenses, we just got hit with increased telephone expenses. So that's just something we had to live with. For on line 78, $6,300 for consultants.
Mm-hmm.
We have, this year we'd had a web administrator position, and she retired, and we eliminated that position as a paid position. It was just part-time. What we've done instead is we have an individual who is coming in and handling those duties on an as-needed basis. And so the portion of the budget that had been set aside for web administrator employee to consultants.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have some of the engineering is included in the consultants also. Farther down, everything else is pretty much consistent with what we had last year. We get down to programming expenses, $109,6694 on programming services.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a change in the provider for our outside produced programming that required the general manager to renegotiate the contract. And because of that, we were able to get some immediate reduction in the annual cost of that outside programming. And that's why the expense from last year is down about $14,000.
Mm-hmm.
The big problem that we're having this year is kind of unique to KPFT. Line 118, 6641. When we bought a transmitter a number of years ago, we went in, we got kind of the cheaper model that had tubes. and as a result, it got very, very hot. The tower rental that we had, the contract that we had for the tower rental, included electricity that we needed for the transmitter. And because of the heat, we needed to put in an air conditioner to keep it cool. So the tower rental, they were eating about $4,000 in electricity to keep our transmitter cool. That antenna lease is up, and so we aren't going to get the benefits that we had before. So when we get the new tower lease, we're going to have to pay our own electricity. So that was a big hit for us. So we have about $4,000 a month in electricity. As far as the capital campaign for the antenna in the cable, once that's done, the next capital campaign is for the transformer, and that should bring down. We get solid state. We shouldn't have the problem with the electricity. If we get down to development expenses, 134, 135. At 6750 and 6752. Whoops, no. 133 and 134. At 6413 and 6750 for premiums. We're shifting more towards internally produced premiums instead of going outside.
They got a room down the run.
PRA and reduced outside vendors for premiums.
All right.
We're also doing going down to 138, 67, 60. We're going to send out a new mailing. Oops, no, 139.
All right, we'll call
710 on printing and marketing promo, and we're just doing more printing of items. So we're handing out at events. That's the increase in that category. And the 150, 67, 90, the reduction in community events expenses. That is primarily the cook-off that we won't have anymore.
Okay. Are you done, Jim? Or
uh-huh. If there's any questions.
I'm sure there will be. There always are. Okay. At this point, we're going to go to Bill Crozier to add anything that you would like to add, if anything.
I think it summarized it pretty well. I'd be glad to help answer questions, though, if there are any.
Okay. Well, I have a promise to deliver that I would report some feedback. This was obviously from members of the LSB that dissented with the vote, which is fine. But I did say that I would make sure that their feedback reached the floor of the NSC. So if you give me a second, I'm going to look for that. That material, which came in during the PNB, and relay it. Okay. I believe that I did this on email, and I don't want to, it's kind of a long email, which makes it hard, but anyway. But I did say that I would, you know, put it into the record and make sure that the members of the NSC recognize the feedback. So it's from Ted Weisgall, who is a member of the KPFT local station board, and he says, last week I joined the majority of the KPFT local station board and voted to approve the 2012-2013 KPFT budget. Upon reflection, I hope you will send it back to Houston for further review. Among the reasons for this are the following. Number one, the LSP limited itself to a total of 40 minutes to review aspects of the budget. This was totally inadequate. Each member was allowed 2 1-minute questions. Many members passed on the opportunity to ask questions. The general manager did not give us a precise answer to the question, how much does the BBC aired weekdays from 7 to 8 a.m. cost, and how much money does it generate? According to the station's development director, this program brings in less than it costs. Some sources say the average amount of donations per day for this program is $700. Continuing on, you will hear that the BBC has the largest weekday audience of any program KPFT carries. This is probably true. What we don't know is how large was the audience for Democracy Now. It's now on at 8 a.m. when it was temporarily on a few years ago from 7 a.m. We don't know how much money Democracy Now would generate if it was on at 7 a.m. There was almost an opportunity to find this out, but the program was removed from this time slot a few days before the start of a fund drive. The second comment is prior to the budget approval meeting, a request was posted to have put in writing the direct benefits of BBC, and that request was not fulfilled. The third point, again, this is rather programming oriented, but of course that happens. The third point is the 7 to 8 a.m. weekday time slot is the most listened to hour of the week, but it's not generating the kind of money that it should. Moving Democracy Now to this time slot may not be the only answer to KPFT's failure to achieve the ambitious fundraising goals, but it is a major one. Most teachers, as well as high school and college students, can't listen to Democracy Now at 8 a.m. since that is when school starts in Houston. They can listen at 5 p.m., but by then most of the news is old. And four, three members of the LSB were not present at the budget vote, George Ryder, Liana Lopez, and Angel Sanchez. Had they been there, the debate and the vote may have been different, so I do ask you to fulfill this request and send the budget back to the LSB. So I'm just putting that out there for the record. I'm sure that people will want to address it. And with that, I guess we'll go to questions and comments on the KPFT budget.
Point of information?
Yeah, R. Paul, just hang on a second. Let me get the stack. I heard Campbell. Who else wants to be on the stack?
This is Alex. So you want to be on the stack.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, so we'll start with R. Paul, Campbell, and Alex.
Oh, I'm not for stack yet. I just wanted to know, when did you send this out, that statement you just read?
Mr. Weisgall's email?
Yeah.
I did, in fact, forward it to the NFC mailing list, because of course he couldn't do that.
In the middle of the
PNB meeting on July 20th.
Ah, okay, thank you.
I am happy to do so again. I
can do that if you want.
There were flurry emails that followed, but they were mostly rebuttal type things, so I did not, I think, forward the entire mess. Bill, yeah, if you can forward it to R. Paul for the record, I think that would be good.
Okay.
Okay, so that takes us to, we had Campbell on the stack, followed by Alex.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. My question is, in looking at your revenue projections, I see that in October 2012, you're looking at $107,000, which I suspect is from your, a drive, on-air drive. Yet at that same month, you're looking at $75,000, followed by another $75,000 and $50,000 for the restricted contributions that you'll be using for your transmitter. Aren't we looking at being able to tap the same well twice in October at least, and I'm wondering at how realistic those projections are.
Okay, the capital campaign is put together right now, and what form it's going to be in, we aren't exactly sure. It will probably take the form of not necessarily being on air. Fundraising. It's probably more going after individuals directly, and so to a certain extent, it's going after two different demographics of listeners. It may also be that the timing of the cancel campaign is not necessarily October, November, December. We're setting it in that period strictly because that tends to be, a sweet spot for people that want to donate money. It's possible that could trail into the winter or into the spring. But generally, it will not necessarily be going after or not necessarily compete with the on-air fundraising, but will tend to be more of a direct solicitation to listeners.
Okay. One follow-up, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. Have you been able to bifurcate your fundraising in this fashion previously? In other words, having an on-air drive at the same time that you're doing another sort of solicitation, in the community?
Bill could maybe be able to answer that better than I can. I don't think we've had a capital campaign since we got one for the transmitter. And that was probably, 7-8 years ago, Bill?
Yeah, that was about 6 years ago. That sounds about right. I think that was the last one we had.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so with that, we'll move the staff to Alex.
I can't comment on the KPFT budget because I don't have a spreadsheet in front of me. Was that sent out today or earlier some other time or what?
That's the agenda that was emailed out at 5:30.
Oh, it's in the agenda?
Yeah, it's an attachment.
It's attached. Okay, thanks. I'll take a look there. Just one comment on the complaint from the APFT LSD member. I don't think we can't entertain a request from a certain individual member of the LSD that be reviewed again. Although some of the comments seem to be pertinent.
There's a lot of what you're saying I can't hear, Alex.
I said some of the comments were kind of interesting, but they were about the programming issues and not the budget per se.
Mr. Weisgeld has a constant war against BBC for as long as I've been with the station, and to a certain extent we just take it in stride and we expect it every year for the budget.
I see. Okay.
Bill, point of information?
Yes, we're at the end of the current stack, so Bill will take your point of information.
Look, I was just going to say that to respond to Alex, I also sent the KPFT budget on to all of you on July 16th.
Okay.
So this was a follow-up copy so people would have it handy.
Yeah, what I sent was a PDF version, which is all I had right there.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to have a couple questions. Who wants to be on the stack next? Oh. Okay. Well, I did want to ask a couple of questions.
At some point.
Okay. Does anybody else want to be on the stack? All right. Let's go to R. Paul, and then I will follow you.
Okay. Sorry about that. All right. Maybe I'm reading this wrong here. By the way, my column Q is almost entirely blank, and 2012 versus 2011, better or worse, and it's almost entirely blank on the spreadsheet I have. But my question is on line 50, surplus deficit, and it shows FY 2012 a deficit of 50 grand, and it's projecting apparently a surplus deficit for FY 13 of $5. Is that right?
That's correct.
Gosh, we can't have a deficit budget like. All right, so. Okay.
We put that in there just for you, R. Paul.
I'm thrilled. Actually, I'm going to be presenting a deficit budget myself, I think. All right, so this. So basically, you're figuring it's really going to be one of those knife-edgy kinds of things because, you know, $5, what the hell's that? So you're really figuring that even counting in the capital campaign and the cuts in personnel and consultants, that it's still going to be right down to basically that wire, and it'll be a random number which side of break-even it's going to be on. Is that about right?
That's correct, and if something comes up, we'll internally have to do something to cover it. But we would show that we did include about the $18,000 in capital expenses, which was generally had been lacking before.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, this is Tracy. I have a number of questions. I'll just kind of run through them, and you can answer them one-on-one if you prefer, Jim, or whatever works for you. So just to reiterate what our Paul said, because we're running the capital campaign money through here, this is basically a budget that's anticipating a $26,995 surplus prior to capital, and that's after having made a substantial amount of expense reductions, and I think it's worth noting that in terms of how we're projecting going forward. I appreciate the sobriety of the projection. So my first question is your CPB estimates. They look to be at a similar level or slightly higher, actually slightly higher than FY 2012. I think that I know the reason for that, but could you give me a sort of a justification for where those numbers came from? And that's line 14 and 15.
15,
the increase is not substantial, and I think that it's probably about right because certain things will be different this year than last year. But I just wanted to check in about those numbers because people are always angsty about the CPB grants and if they'll stay at the same level or not.
Yeah, well, all I can say is that we just kind of got primarily business manager and general manager got together, and that's the figure that they're hoping for.
Okay.
Barbara, for the stack.
Of, you know, anything definitive on whether we're going to get it or not, you know, based on historically, you know, that's basically what they came up with.
Okay, so this guesstimate came from the GM and the business manager in Houston for the CPP.
Yes.
I was just trying to track down the origination. Okay. All right. My next question is about your other capital expenses. I understand the $200,000 in and out, and I understand the $9,000 Heath bequest. Could I just ask questions about the $6,000 computer investment and the $12,000 transmitter equipment? Are those, it looks like that's money that you spent last year, too, or this year. Are those 100% mandatory? Are they for ongoing needs? Are they discretionary if perhaps the money's not there? If you could just tell me a little bit about what those consist of.
Okay, the biggest problem we have with the transmitter is the age and, you know, and what we've got. And so, you know, kind of at the station, we just decided we just have to put something in the budget for, you know, the replacement of equipment related to the transformer. We have a tube technology requires about three or four. Is it $6,000 for the tube we have to put in about annually?
I think it's $4,000 or $5,000. Yeah, and they run out sort of randomly. I think it's usually more often than once a year.
Yeah.
I think that the $1,000 per month includes that plus other miscellaneous repairs that almost always you need something.
Okay.
For the transmitter, and this year, for example, we had a lot more for the transmission line, which we hope to replace.
This is Arlene on the call.
Thank you. Hi, Arlene. Welcome. Okay.
Thank you.
So I'm,
although I do have to grab this other call, but I'll be right back, hopefully.
Okay. Well, I actually have more questions. I'm sorry, Jim, so I'm just going to keep on going through them and, you know. Okay, line 58, payroll taxes, SUI, which is the state unemployment disability. I've noted that there's a note there that Efren needs to fill this in. It hasn't been input. I don't see that as, like, an absolutely fatal flaw given the size of your payroll, and I think that I would be willing to move ahead possibly without it being filled in, but it's a note that it's not filled in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's what that is. Is there a story about line 66 and why the local board spent $14,000 and isn't spending $14,000 in the upcoming year?
Going back to the 2012 budget, that's a mistake.
Oh.
The 2012 14-4, that's a mistake.
Oh, it was really 2,400 or something like that.
2,400,
okay.
And that was a mistake that went through all the levels.
Okay.
So that should be 2,400.
Okay, line 78, consultants. And if you said any of this, forgive me. I tried to follow your whole report, so I wouldn't ask redundant questions. But the consultants are doubling, and that's what need are you anticipating filling with that?
Yeah. There was the web administrator was a part-time position. I think
mm-hmm.
she was there for 3 half-days, and she retired in December.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been shifted over to a consultant position, the individual who is putting together our website is getting a portion of that. Additionally, we have more of an increase. We don't have a full-time or a part-time engineer, so the engineering duties are strictly on a consultant basis.
Okay, that sounds like a fair bit of value for that amount of money.
Tracy, this is Bill. Just a question or clarification on what you said just a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
On LSB expenses, were you talking about the line item for election LSB election expenses?
No, the one on top of that, which had an amount of $2,400, and then if you look in column P, it had $14,000 the previous year, and I was like, what? How are they saving all that money?
That was just a mistake.
Yeah.
It's Ken to the stack.
Okay, let me just finish, and then we had Barbara on the stack, and you will be next, Ken. I think I actually am finished. We talked about the premiums. Okay, I think I'm done. So Barbara was next on the stack, followed by Ken.
Well, I just wanted to comment about the CPB money. I'm not sure if your general manager or business manager checked, but it may not be an estimate. It's a guess is what I mean, because the amount awarded was looked up on the CPB website by our business manager, and it was known early in July, but the distribution, you know, follows after 10 or 15 days, something like that. But it may be more exact than you're thinking.
Tracy, this is Arlene.
Okay, can I put you on the stack after Ken, or are you directly addressing what
I was
Barbara
just going to give a real quick answer to that.
Okay, go ahead and do that, then we'll go to Ken.
Yeah, we knew in November what the amount would be, and that so it's exact. We received, you know, half of it in November, and we knew it would be within a penny the same amount in the spring distribution.
Point of information, but we're talking about next year, aren't we?
Yes,
if we're going into next year, we don't know at all what next year will bring.
Right.
Yeah, Barbara was addressing last year, so Arlene was addressing what Barbara said. I'm going to go to Ken on the stack. Ken, are you there? Ken? Okay.
Sorry. Yes. No. I'm here. Just one word. Lightning rod. Are you getting a new lightning rod?
That's we have a capital campaign restricted funds. We've set up a $200,000 capital campaign that's under restricted projects on line 19. And then if we get that amount in, we have a capital expense of the antenna and the cable of that $200,000 on line 45, 1450.
So that's to accommodate. That's the required fix because of the lightning strike, and it's also preventative of a future lightning strike.
Yeah, we aren't. We really don't know exactly what we know. Something happened. We don't know if it was lightning, if it was just a wind whip on the cable. Once the engineers got up there and started looking around, they were kind of horrified at just the deterioration of the whole antenna and the cable. And to this day, we really aren't sure if it was a lightning strike or whatever that took it down.
Okay, just one follow-up question.
Yeah.
Is there an available insurance policy for acts of God, again, on the antenna?
You may know more about this, Bill. I guess the problem was it was so old and deteriorated. They really couldn't find.
What's the point of information?
It was that cable. I believe the cable had been there before we actually started using that tower. So it's just old, and they couldn't really put much of a connection between any kind of a weather-related accident damage that would allow the insurance to cover it.
For
any damage.
Okay.
Let me go
Thank
to LaVon
you.
For the point of information.
As you were saying, there was. They looked at the antenna, and actually, there were two incidents. So I believe with one of the incidents, it was determined that it was perhaps it was covered by the insurance. In fact, we have a check. I just mailed it this evening to go to KPFT to cover that. So I think with the two incidents, with one incident, I think they found that I think part of that was covered by insurance. So we do have insurance, but we don't have insurance for acts of God. Neither's Con Ed. So that's kind of where we are with that. So part of it was covered. Like I said, we mailed the check this evening that we got from the insurance company for some of those for some of that damage, but not for all. And as you were saying, it can't really be determined that people have various opinions about whether like you said, like the aging of the equipment or was it a lightning strike. The only thing they can see is what the result was. In terms of not having the use of antenna, so it's kind of it's yet to be finally determined, so we can't say one way or the other. And then I want to get back to the CPB when we finish with this.
I think at this point, because there was no stack after Ken, you can just take your turn and talk about the CPB, and then we'll continue on.
Okay.
And this is Bill. I wanted to comment about the lightning too.
I'm trying to be careful here, you guys.
Okay, well, maybe we should stay on lightning before we jump back to CPB. So let's go to Bill, just to avoid confusion.
Well, Bill's right. There were at least two incidents. We had a definitely a lightning hit, and it was during the winter fund drive. It was up in, early February, I forget the exact date, or late January. That was at the station, and... but I don't think it hit our. The thing that's the highest around there is our this tower on the back of the station that has the microwave link to the transmitter. It's very well grounded. I checked it, but I don't think that's where the lightning hit. I think it hit maybe on a nearby power line pole because most of the damage was connected to the phone lines, and the insurance did pay for a lot of that damage minus I think a $5,000 deductible. Maybe that's the check Lauren has. As Jim was saying, the later problems we had at the antenna and transmitter, some of the transmitter problems were apparently caused by problems in the antenna, the feed line, that got water in it, and when they went up there to check, they found a lot of deterioration, as Jim was saying. It was actually water, quite a bit of water in the transmission line. It's not supposed to have any. And so I think the insurance, it was difficult to prove that that was caused by lightning or something like that. And it looked more like at least a part of it, and maybe most of it, was caused by just the weathering over years, and then that in turn damaged the transmitter. So the capital campaign will hopefully take care of all that, though.
Okay. Well, with that, why don't we back to LaVarne for the CPB comment.
Okay. I think, when we're looking at the CPB funds for this year, 2012, that, yes, we absolutely know what the second payment would be for CPB. And we got the first installment in November. And normally we get the second installment in April, but we didn't get it until July this year because the audit was not completed until the very last day in June. And also June the 30th was the very last day that we could submit what they call the audited financial reports to CPB. So in order to get the funding, the second installment, you have to go online, and then your auditor has to attest to the audit that that person produces. So we were up to the last extension, which is like you have four extensions. So we were up to the last, and if we had gone beyond there, they would have, I'm sure, started reducing the amount of CPB funding. So this was like extremely nerve-wracking for all of us not to have the audit done so that we could get it into the CPB online system in order to get our second installment. And then we got a preliminary report earlier, but just this week we got another draft of the results of the CPB audit. And I think I'd spoken to some about the fact that, and one of the fact that in the past, we had never, on the audit report, it asked for the fair market value of high-end premiums. So that was never entered on our audit when it was, when the auditor actually attests to the audit information on the file. So it was never included in the past. And when the CPB auditor asked our current auditor why it wasn't done, and the response was that that person didn't recognize it as a need to put it on here. And the consequence of that is that we've been hit with penalties. So actually, I'll have to get this out as soon as possible, because we've been hit with penalties for not including that. And the penalties are at just over the 2 years of the CPB audit. And initially it started at about $140,000. And then I found that one of the reports that the CPB auditor had asked for, like, came from KPFA. It was sent, and it was an error on the what happened is that one report should have been sent, and it was like two reports sent, and the wrong number was picked up. So therefore, from 140, we went down to 133 right now, as far as our penalties. And we were told earlier that we would have to pay these penalties over a three-year period. So if we look at what we expect our CPB funding to be next year or in 2013, I'll have to confirm that when these penalties will start, over what three-year period that we start, that we will have to, that amount will be deducted from our CPB funding. And so the amount now is $133,000. And and WBAI and KPFK, their amount reduction is about $40,000. And that's because they have high value premiums. You know, and they're using, particularly with the Gary Null premiums, as a whole. High
value. Could you repeat that, LaVarne, please?
For KPFK. Mm-hmm. And WBAI, the penalties that will have to be paid back over the 3 years is about $40,000 each. For KPFA, it's about $24,000. For T, about $7,000. And for W, about $20,000. And again, this is based in the penalties were determined by just looking at the cost of the premiums over that two-year period. So, the penalty was determined by looking at the cost of the premiums, not even looking at the value, but like at least looking at the cost that was reported on the audit. So, therefore, we will have to, our CPP funding will be reduced because the fair market value premiums were not included on that AFR, the audited financial statements reports that we have to file with CPP. And also, I just want to add that CPP says that, you know, if your auditor, if the reporting results in penalties to your company, then you should consider not using that auditor again, because the penalties that we have to pay is like $133,000 because we can't report that. So just want to let you know that that's where we're at CPP, and we will have to, I'll need to get out as quickly as possible once I confirm with the auditor when we think they will start imposing these penalties.
Okay. I do want to do sort of a procedural thing because we're an hour into our meeting and we have to make some decisions about how to move ahead. But Arlene, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, it's very brief. Just letting you know that we actually just received this report today, and we have until August 20th to give a response. It's still a draft, but it looks like Laverne's already responded to the initial report, or we did, and so probably the $133,000 will stand. But it's not final until after our response and their response to that.
Okay. All right. Well, this is what I'm going to say about the KPFT budget, and then we can sort of decide what to do. At the moment, this is the only LSB-approved budget that we possess, so we're not overwhelmed with back budget work, although, you know, the timing will partially depend on the decisions that we make about extensions. You know, speaking for myself, I think this is a pretty good budget, in fairly good shape. I prefer to have the SUI filled in. There are some questions about whether some amount of CPP penalties will have to be absorbed, and a certain amount of money would be payable in the next year. So there's a little bit of not entirely tamped down stuff in it. So I think it's a decision for the NFC whether we can live with those small discrepancies or if we feel like we want to give it two more weeks and one more discussion before we approve. Our next meeting, my guess is that at the next PNB meeting is August 9th, and my guess is it would be a bit of a push for the PNB to approve the budget at that meeting anyway. There's a lot of backed up stuff, so I'm not sure that we necessarily delay the process that substantially. And our next meeting would be August 14th, so that's when we would be picking up the KPFT budget if we did, in fact, postpone it and pick up this conversation there next time. The other option, of course, is if someone has modifications to suggest right now, they can do them. And the third option is we can approve it as the LSB drew it up and just pass it on to the PNB as is. So I'm open for motions from the body.
Well, and Arlene to the SEC.
Okay, I heard Bill and I heard Arlene. Is anybody else?
A fast point of parliamentary procedure.
Okay, points of parliamentary procedure go first. Go ahead, Paul.
Very fast. Nobody's made a motion on this, so we don't have to, like, make a motion to postpone. There's no motion on the floor at this time. So if we don't want to do it tonight, we just don't have to make a motion to pass it tonight. Just throwing that in.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Okay, so we can just sort of do nothing, and then it will float back to us next meeting. Fair enough. Arlene?
All I wanted to say is that the penalty, if assuming these stand for KPFT, would be less than $3,000 for the next year.
Right, so it's not a huge amount of money.
Some of the other states are bigger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So are there proposals for how to proceed from the floor?
Bill. This is Ken. I'd like Bill go first.
Okay. Let's go to Bill.
Okay, I want to refer everybody also to the spreadsheet I sent back out again. Laverne sent it about a little week ago with the one that has the forecasted income statement for the rest of this fiscal year. It shows for KPFT total revenue about $78,000 more than what this budget shows for FY12. So from that standpoint, we're pretty good shape in expecting a little more revenue. I think our GM was conservative projecting revenue, but I think we should send it back to KPFT's GM and business manager to adjust the CPB funding. I mean, it's small compared to KPFT, but I think all the stations should do this to make sure that they're realistic, and they can also adjust the revenue estimates according to the revenue estimates from the national offices. They're probably the best and most recent estimate that we have.
And they can plunk in those SUI figures that are missing while they're at it.
Right, right, yeah.
Now, this is Jim. Can I make a comment?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. I mean, I looking forward at potential logjam for getting items through the NSC and into the PNB, I would just suggest that any questions or maybe on the KPFT budget are small, that potentially adding one more, even if it's small, procedural of requiring 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, a half hour to pass this at a meeting that may have four or five budgets, six budgets to go through when there's other things that are more important. I would just request that the budget as it's been submitted be passed, so we can get one item off the plate of the NSC.
Okay, well, that's a motion on the floor.
Ken?
In a sense, Bill is also making a competing suggestion, so that's good. Let's get them all out there, and I have a suggestion, too. Ken, go ahead.
I agree that the budget should be approved, subject to correction of the three items that Bill mentioned, the adjustment on the income, the SUI, and the CPB. And
that's where I was going, yeah.
That's all, same thing. So we can approve it now, because that's just like it's predictable corrections that are going to be made.
Okay, so let me do this, Bill. Let me ask you to draft wording that basically the NFC approves this budget to the PNB with the following additions and corrections, 1, 2, 3. And
okay,
then
you
if
want
we could
specific numbers in there? Because I'm not sure about the state unemployment insurance, for example.
Point of information on the SUI, you can evaluate, you can estimate what the percentage is from the information of the previous year. It's obviously, you can multiply it.
Maybe around $3,000.
I would say, Bill, write it as carefully as you could, but we want the SUI items, filled in. We want the CPB funds verified, and we want, blankety, blankety, blank.
Okay, point of information.
Right.
Yeah, the SUI, we can get that from our tables or confirm that with the ADP in terms of what the SUI will be for each.
Okay.
We actually pull that up from the state files, and it'll tell
okay.
you what.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the upshot of passing this is basically that we would do like a 5-minute check-in at the next meeting to make sure that these things had happened. And then as long as those figures were filled in and had been confirmed, the budget is done. So it will probably save us a considerable amount of time to do this sort of omnibus conditional thing. Okay, so we're waiting on Bill's text for the motion. And we don't have
it yet. I'm still writing. Give me a few minutes.
Okay,
sorry.
Okay.
If you want to come back to this, that's fine.
This is Kim. I have a question. Hello?
Okay.
I'm confused about how we can figure out what the CPB will be for next year now.
Why?
It's taken on two-year-old data.
What?
It's taken on two-year-old data.
So is that, but how do you think what we got 2 years ago is going to be what we get this year?
No, no. They calculate on our two-year-old data. Somebody else correct me, but I believe that this is what happens. Isn't it right, LaVarne?
Barbara, if you could wait to be called on, I'd appreciate it.
Sorry, LaVarne, I apologize for my impatience.
Okay. LaVarne, can you answer the question about how we guesstimate the CTB figures briefly?
Yeah, basically, yeah, it's calculated based on the prior year, not this past year. Not 2012, but 2011. So, you know, we will have that information. I mean, or 2010, I think. We should have that information. It's based on the information that we already have, and we know it's 6% of the revenue. So we can calculate the number ourselves, and I'll talk with the CPB auditor in the morning, and I'll just confirm the numbers. But, yeah, we know what the number is. We would know what the number is. The question is when we will start getting hit with the penalties.
Okay. For the sake of time, since Bill is still writing, I think we're going to move the agenda because we have a lot of stuff left on it, and then we will come back and vote Bill's motion up or down when it's written. So let's take ourselves quickly to item 5, which is we have 4 other stations and the archives. The archives is not present, so Arlene, you will have to speak for them. None of them have submitted budgets as of yet. They are all due tomorrow. So what we will need to do is hear from the treasurers about what sort of an extension request they are requesting, and then we will need to vote those up or down. If we do not provide an extension, then the NFC will begin working from last year's budget on a new budget directly. That is how our timeline works. So I thought that we would just quickly go in order and the treasurers could tell us what they would like from the NFC, and if they don't wish to request an extension, that's fine.